I want to continue with I Will Build My Church. This is part 9. If you would with me, turn to the book of Matthew 16. Matthew 16. We're going to read verse 18 and verse 19. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You can be seated. We are discovering God's blueprint for building his church. This is principle 12. We're surviving a shipwreck. Acts chapter 27, verse 9 through 15. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the landing and ship, but also of our lives. Paul is warning them, this is going to be a rough ship ride. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. So they didn't listen to Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might obtain the Phoenice, and there to winter, which is at Haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, losing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after those, there arose against them a tempest wind called Euryclean. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. I'm going to read you this also in the New Living Translation. We had lost a lot of time. The weather was becoming dangerous for sea travel because it was so late in the fall. And Paul spoke to the ship officer about it. Men, he said, I believe there is a troubled ahead if we go on. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, and danger to our lives as well. But the officer in charge of the prisoners listened more to the ship's captain and the owner than to Paul. And since Fair Havens was an exposed harbor, a poor place to spend the winter, most of the crew wanted to go on to Phoenix, farther up the coast of Crete, and spend the winter there. Phoenix was a good harbor, which only a southwest and northwest exposure, the storm at sea. When the light wind began blowing from the south, the sailors thought they could make it, so they pulled up anchor and sailed close to the shore of Crete. But the weather changed abruptly, and the wind, a typhoon strength called a northeasterner, caught the ship and blew it out into the sea. They couldn't turn the ship into the wind, so they gave up and let it run before the gale. Paul had previously been in 3 shipwrecks, folks. 3 shipwrecks you read about in 2 Corinthians 11, around the time of Acts 20. No details whatsoever were given about those servants, about those events. Why is such detail given here? Why would Luke devote such a long section of Acts to this description of a shipwreck? Principle here, first the natural, okay? First the natural things, then the spiritual things. 1 Corinthians 15. There is a spiritual lesson found in this. Paul was finally on his way to Rome, although he had never expected to go as a prisoner. You see, they set out for Caesarea and began to sail along the coast of the Mediterranean. But the voyage became difficult because of the strong winds. They transferred to a large grain ship from Egypt. But the strong winds again hindered it. And it took them many days to travel just 130 miles. And finally, They struggled into the port known as Fair Havens on the south side of the island of Crete. And it was here that the centurion makes his fateful decision to continue the journey. Folks, the Word of God is filled with the tragic record of men and women who began well in their walk with God and failed to survive spiritually. Okay? The Spirit of the Lord came on Samson, but he squandered most of his life sensually. God chose Saul to be Israel's first king, but he had to cast him aside when pride ruined him. Solomon prayed for divine wisdom in his youth, but tolerated pagan evils in his old age. At one time, Judas was an apostle. You see what I'm saying? There's a lot of people who started out well in their walk with God and allowed things to take them off course. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means," see what he's saying? "When I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Storms that you could not dream of may have come into your life, or may have come into your family, or even into the church that you attend. All right? Sooner or later, folks, we all will be tested. Okay? Sooner or later, the test is going to come and see where you're at. That's the nature of life's voyage. Right? That's the nature of it. And sometimes through the errors of others, through no fault of your own maybe, you can become shipwrecked along life's journey. It is even possible for church problems to shipwreck you. Right? Matthew 24, if you would, verse 10. Excuse me. Matthew chapter 24, verse 10. "And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved." You see, folks, the apostolic church is built on those children of God who know how to survive the storms of life. Amen? Even when we are caused by people who ride in the same boat, even when that storm is caused by those people, saints, who sink the ship, we have to learn to, I'm going to serve God anyways. Amen? I'm not living for God because of that person. I'm not living for God because of them. I'm living for God because he is my God, and I love him, and I'm going to serve him. Come what may, I'm going to serve him. They cause problems because of the wrong decisions they make. People cause problems because they make wrong choices. You see, Fair Havens, folks, was not the most comfortable place to spend the winter months. And a fair wind at the time of sailing made it look like they could quit easily to get to the port of Phoenix. Paul admonished them to stay, let's just stay in Fair Haven, he says. Sailing was dangerous at this time of year. But they listened to the majority rather than to the man of God. I'm telling you, you better be careful who you allow to speak into your life. Come on. You need to be careful who you allow to speak. They listen to the majority. Oh, come on. This is not the greatest. Let's go on up. See, no one thinks their storm is going to be bad enough to shipwreck them. They think that, hey, there's no storm that comes. I love God, and I'm going to serve him no matter what. They think there's no storm that's going to shipwreck them. They stopped resisting and they end up way off course. While they're in this, if only they could have seen that their 50-mile journey around the island would take them 600 miles off course across the Mediterranean Sea. You see, folks, over time, over in my life serving the Lord and pastoring for 20-some years, I've seen a lot of people end up off course. And in their lives, they wonder how they ever got where they were. They would have never dreamed that they would end up where they were. You see, they hope to outrun the storm and eventually get back on course. That's what they were hoping on this shipwright, that we can outrun this storm and we can get back on course. But the moment they gave up resisting the storm, resisting the wind, they lost control. You see, you can't give in to the storm. You got to battle it. Amen? Amen. There's nothing that comes into your life, folks, that you just stand there and take it. You battle back. Because God is always on your side. Amen? I don't care what size giant steps in front of you. You battle him. Come on. Hallelujah. When they gave up resisting the wind, they lost control of everything. Very few storms simply blow over. You need to stay the course. Stay your course, folks. Sin, especially sins of the spirit, will take you much farther than you ever intended to go. And folks, you know what else they did? They concentrated on surviving instead of progressing. They used ropes and chains to wrap around the ship to keep it together, trying to reinforce the beams and trying to plug all the leaks and things of that nature. They pulled in the sails and just concentrated on survival. Entering survival mode may make us feel like we are still accomplishing something, but it only prolongs the inevitable. You have to fight. You have to just, I am not staying in this area. I'm going to get through this. God is going to see me through. Amen. I'm not going to just give up. Amen. I'm going to fight it anyways. Praise the Lord. You think you're just going to sail it out and it's going to take you a whole lot further than you ever dreamed of going. You see, they begin to throw out the necessities in a vain effort to make things better. That's a sad place to get. They cast out even the tackling of the ship, things that they would need, things that they needed so badly. Many people think that as long as they are religious, they will still be saved. You see, but folks, we can't save ourselves from life's storms. We got to call on God. Amen. God, I need you right now. You see the storm I'm in. You see, Lord God, and I know that without you, I am nothing. Amen? You can't save yourself. God doesn't expect you to throw out your personality just to please him. Come on. And he doesn't want you to demand anybody else to get rid of their personality either. God wants you, he wants all of you. All right? Christianity is more than just gritting your teeth in a joyless existence. God knows who you are. All right? He saves you because he loves you no matter who you are. He likes your personality. God will weed out the bad. Come on, but God wants you to be you. Aren't you glad for that? You know what else? They lost their hope. Well, you can't lose your hope. They lost their hope and simply just fall apart. See, once people lose their hope, and that is, hope is the desire with expectation of fulfillment, okay? That's what hope is. They just end up going through the motions of religion. All right? They no longer really believe that God will do it. But it was in the midst of failure, folks, that Paul stood with a message of hope. In the midst of their failure, Paul stood up with a message of hope. In Acts 27, verse 21. Excuse me. Acts 27. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." Folks, don't get offended at a preacher who tells you that you made a wrong decision or that you are way off course. Okay? I'll say it again. Don't get offended at a preacher who tells you that you've made a wrong decision or that you're way off course. And see, the only reason you are offended is that you know he is speaking the truth. Come on. I got a couple of you with me here today. You see, the storm wasn't over. But for Paul, the storm was as good as over because he had heard from God. Right? There might still be damage to the ship, but his life was saved. This is not the typical happy ending story. In fact, the worst is yet to come. And that's why many people, folks, never survive the storm, is because they expect the sun to shine immediately. You know, the man of God stands up and says, "Listen, you should have listened to me. And I'm telling you, there's no life going to be lost." And all of a sudden, so many people expect the sun to come out. He didn't say the storm was over. But you need to hearken to the word of the man of God. And so many people want that happy ending. And that's all well and good. It'll come in time. But you got to finish out your storm. A lot of people never survive the storm because they expected the sun to come out immediately. Well, I heard from the man of God and it didn't change. But instead, the waves swept higher and the winds intensified. You see, that word come along to help you to get your focus back. You need to get your focus in the right place. The problem that you had is you weren't listening to God and the man of God, and you got off focus and it took you way off course. But you still got to finish out this storm. And if you get your focus back on the right place, you can get through the storm. Hallelujah. When the ship hit the rocks, folks, Paul had to jump in the cold, stormy waters and swim for his life also. But he still had hold of God's promise. Amen? While the sailors mocked, the sails ripped off, and the boat fell apart all around them, Paul, amen, paced the deck and encouraged the crew, "I believe God." Amen? He even believed God while swimming for his life. Come on. Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 11, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith, be content." It doesn't matter what you're going through. You need to know that God is in control. And you can be content. Amen? It didn't matter what happened to him once he heard from God. Right? Well, when I hear from God, everything should shape up and ship out. God said he'll get you through. He didn't say he's going to take you out, set you somewhere else. I'll help you through. Paul said, "Whatever state I'm in, I learned to be content because I know in my God. I know what kind of God I serve. Amen? Hallelujah. Once you hear from God, folks, you should be content. See, God took the sting out of the storm, but you're still in a storm. Folks, when a church hears from God, they may still go through the rough waters, but the promise of God is still true. It's still true. Don't let others shipwreck your dream. Don't let other people shipwreck your dream. When you see people just walking away from things, try to encourage them to come back. But don't walk with them. Don't go with them. Let's look at principle 13. Let's talk about witnessing through weakness. You see, sometimes the only time people want to witness is when they're riding high. But what about in your weakness? Paul is talking to these folks during a shipwreck, during a storm. In Acts 28, verse 24, this cause, therefore, have I called you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. Colossians 4:18, the salutations by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. Remember his bonds. Remember his weak time. Remember his hard time. This is written from Rome to the Colossians by Titus and Ominous. And Rome was the greatest city that Paul had ever seen. With more than 1 million citizens and about 1 million slaves living in its seven hills. Paul was placed again under house arrest. Constantly chained to a soldier, but able to receive friends, able to write letters, able to even preach while being chained to a soldier. Once again, he shared the truth of Jesus with the Jews first, but when most of them refused him, he turned to the Gentiles. And for 2 years, he had to pay for his own lodging, even though he was confined and waiting for his trial. Let me tell you something, folks. Thank the Lord for Paul's chained to soldiers and in prison, because we are reading Paul's writings today. You see, Paul not only got to speak to those that come to him and write letters to those in those different churches, but he is still speaking to us today while chained to soldiers, while in nasty situations. Luke's book of Acts ends here since it was written in as evidence for his upcoming trial before Caesar. And you might think that Paul's constant imprisonment was a depressing thing for him. It certainly could have been. To the human spirit, there is nothing worse than chains. And yet, folks, when we get right down to it, everyone has chains of some kind. Think about it today. What are your chains? What's got you bound? See, folks, chains will alter your perception of how powerful, how intelligent, and how good you are. Right? Chains will make you feel helpless. Chains will make you feel dependent and conscious of your weakness. In his first epistle, Paul introduced himself in Galatians 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. You see, after some suffering, he became, in 1 Corinthians 15:9, for I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. And then after more suffering, he felt that he was, in Ephesians 3, verse 8, unto me, whom am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. After 2 years in chains in Rome, he finally realized in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Folks, it is a common misconception that chains prevent growth and prevent effective work, and that the slightest difficulty in circumstances or the drop in privileges is reason enough to just simply quit. But see, folks, Paul proved from his experience that this is simply not true. For while he was imprisoned in Rome, he produced some of his best epistles. He preached and he prayed and he witnessed and he worshiped while chained to an unbelieving Roman guard. Hallelujah. Think about that, folks. It doesn't matter what comes against you. It doesn't matter what seems to hold you back. Amen. If you just want to do something for God, all things are possible. With God, it's all possible. Talk about opposition in Philippians 4, verse 11. For I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. We could all learn from that. Amen? Amen. I'm not saying you got to be happy that you're in a certain situation, but you got to be happy that no matter what situation you're in, you know God is with you. Because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen? Hallelujah. Whatever state you're in. Now, I wonder which one of Paul's guards, folks, I wonder which one of his guards inspired his writing, which began in Ephesians 6 and 11, says, but on the whole, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wonder what guard first saw that. Think about it. As he's writing that, and the guard's looking over, what are you doing? Put on the whole armor of God. Dude, you're a prisoner. You're chained to me. Or which one of his guards first heard the scripture in Ephesians 3, 20, 21? Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Wonder what guard looked over his shoulder and saw him writing that. See, all of his guards were affected. And many of his guards became Christians. Even though the one who witnessed to them was in chains, they still affected some of these guards. Paul still affected. I'm telling you, folks, God is not going to hear our excuses. Well, God, I was going through this, and I didn't want to talk, and I didn't want to do nothing for you. And God, this happened to me, and I just didn't feel like doing this, God, and I almost gave up over here. Now, you can sit back there and say, but Brother Roberts, that's Paul. Yeah, Paul was human just like you and me. You can do all things through Christ. It does not matter what comes your way. All of his guards were affected by him one way or another. And many, as said, became believers. Paul described himself in one place as an ambassador in bonds. In Ephesians 6, I think. An ambassador in bonds. But that description could apply to most of God's servants. We all have chains of some kind, whether they be bonds of physical affliction. Maybe you don't have the greatest health, but you can do something for God. Maybe you have shackles of circumstances that you're in, but you can still be a servant of God. Maybe fetters of fiery trials that come your way, chains of trials that come your way, you can still do something for God. The question is, will we still continue to work for God even when we don't understand why the chains are there? God, I don't understand why I have this sickness. What are you doing for God? God, you see the circumstance that I live in every day. You can decide to complain about your situation every day, or you can decide to say, God, I still want to do something for you, no matter what I'm in, no matter what I'm going through. Paul, in his chains, in his bonds, did something for God, affected people's lives. Paul said, remember my chains. Why is he telling us? Why is Luke writing about this? Because Luke is wanting you to understand it doesn't matter what you go through. If Paul can do it, you can do it. Luke is writing about his shipwreck. He's writing about his bonds, a chain to a soldier. But he's also telling us that no matter what he went through, God still used him. He allowed God to use him. See, Paul went anonymous to the Lord while he was bound. You read about it in Philemon 10. His brethren developed boldness because of his prison term. In Philippians 1, verse 14, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So what's it saying? If I can watch him serve God and win soldiers and send letters to the churches, then I should be doing more. They got bold. See, this happened. Why? Because Paul remembered that even while he was bound, in 2 Timothy 2:9, but the word of God is not bound. I may have bounds. I may be bound up, but God's word is not. God's word is effective. It will not go forth void. See, Peter and Paul were put on trial by Emperor Nero, and among with many other Christians who were blamed for the great fire of Rome in AD 64. But after the trial, they were confined to prison together until finally being executed on the same day. Peter was nailed to the cross as a public spectacle at Nero's circus, and headward down at his own request because he did not feel worthy to die like his Lord. But as a Roman citizen, Paul was beheaded in a less public place. Folks, remember Paul's chains. Remember his chains. Maybe all Paul could think about as he was being led to his execution was a single scripture that he had written much earlier in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Remember Paul's chains. See, any chains that we must bear for Christ, folks, pale in comparison to the weight of the chains of sin that God has delivered us from. Amen? Remember Paul's chains. Will you work for God, folks, in spite of your chains? Paul did. So we need to determine to witness through our weakness. It doesn't matter what our weakness is. We're able to do something for God. Remember Paul's chains. Remember, folks. Amen. When you read in most of the New Testament, Paul wrote, remember, Paul did this in chains. Paul did this. He was going to do something for God no matter what situation he was in. As you read in these books in the Bible here, think about Paul. As he's writing many of this stuff, a soldier looking over and watching and looking what he's reading. And you think about a soldier, that soldier's probably seen a lot of hurt, a lot of anguish in people's lives. And here he is, chained to somebody who's not letting his situation get him down. He's not going to allow this to hinder what he can do for God. And he's writing to churches to encourage them to live for God. And folks, I hope this helps you today, that no matter what you're going through, that you can remember Brother Paul. He's encouraging you in the Word of God that you can read and say, love God anyways, serve your God anyways, do what you can for God anyways, amen. No matter what, let somebody that is watching your situation be witness to, because you love God no matter what. And you are determined to love God. You are determined to do something great for God, even through your situation. You never know who it will speak to. And you think about them, those Roman guards, folks. How could some of them not be touched? And, you know, you think about it, their time is up, and another soldier comes in, and they go home, and the wife, you know, how's your day? You know what? Honey, I just don't understand. Here I am, I'm chained to this man, and he is, in, you know, he stinks, and he's got, you know, he's bugs crawling all over us, and whatever it is, you know, the situation, those prisons were nasty, folks. And he's writing to people to encourage them to live for his God. He's telling his family this. And as he probably sits there after in his chair afterwards, and he's just thinking about this man, and God is speaking to him, and because the word is not bound, folks. And maybe, you know, their life wasn't the greatest just because they were Roman guards. And he's thinking, what a God. How great this God must be that this man, who's going through all the stuff that he's going through. He just, maybe Paul told him about getting there and being in shipwreck. And this man still loves his God. And, you know, when you think about this day in and day out, and you go back for his shift, and he's being chained back to Paul, and he starts, you know what I was thinking last night, Paul? Tell me about this God that you serve. Why would somebody ask him that? Because he began to see him that no matter what situation he was going through, he still loves his God. He's still telling people to serve your God. No matter what you go through, serve your God. No matter how what your situation is, your God is still worthy to be praised. Amen. He's writing all these things. Why don't you tell me about this God? You see, that's how these things happen. When people see you live for God, no matter what you're going through in life. And that you're still faithful to your God, no matter what you go through. And you could tell people, you know what? I'm not exactly what I want to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be because of my God. Amen? That's what we need to be. That's how we need to be. Amen? No matter what we go through, remember Paul's chains. Remember them, folks. Remember those, amen, and that will help you to stay strong. Praise the Lord. If Paul can do it, I can do it. Amen. And there's been many others, folks, that have suffered, amen, at the hands of the enemy and things, and they've loved God no matter what, amen, and they've went to their end serving and praising their God, amen. But what a great victorious time in heaven that will be.